بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading from the list of those things which are classified as major sins. From the 51, we have completed 40. We continue to regard the words of fortune tellers to be true is also a major sin. To boast of one's piety or ibadah. To boast of one's piety or ibadah is also a major sin. To scream and cry, to scream and cry, or to hit oneself when someone passes away, at the time of somebody's passing away, to mourn and to show your, express your grief in this way is also a major sin. To find fault with food. To see women dancing. To do acts of worship for show. It's also a major sin. To enjoy listening to music and musical instruments. To enter someone's house without permission. To abstain from giving advice despite having the ability to do so. It's also classified as a major sin. To ridicule someone with a view to humiliate him is also a major sin. To search for faults in others. To search for fault in others is also a major sin. So all these which we have discussed, 51 in all, these are all major sins. They have been mentioned so that we can first of all identify them to be major sins. And if stay away from there, and if perchance, if it happens that we fall into them, then we should make tawbah and ask and sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawbah. Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 25th para was recited. The first ruku also of the 25th para is a completion of Surah Hamim As-Sajda. In the first verse of the 25th para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His all-encompassing knowledge, that it is the sole attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything in its minutest detail. Allah ta'ala mentions, إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّعَةِ. To Allah alone is referred to the knowledge of Qiyamah. When exactly Qiyamah will occur, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Further, Allah ta'ala says that it is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the fruits which emerge from their coverings, from their sheaths, and it is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what a female carries and conceives and carries in her womb, and only Allah ta'ala knows what she will deliver as her offspring. It is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was explained previously that this doesn't only refer to the gender of the child in the womb of the mother, that today's technology, to a great extent, this can be determined. No, this refers to every condition of their child. His, how he will grow up, his behavior, his character, whether he will be on iman or not, how much sustenance he will get, and all the minutest details, no machine can pick that up. It is only and only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala then depicts the scene on the day of Qiyamah, that Allah ta'ala will tell these idolaters, these polytheists and mushrikeen, that where are my partners, which you used to claim in the dunya that I have partners, where are they? Why are they not coming to your assistance? Then these people will acknowledge and they will reply, أَذَنَّاكَ مَا مِنَّا مِنْ شَهِيدٍ. We declare to you, O Allah Ta'ala, that none of us testify that you have any partners. In other words, we realize and acknowledge that what we had been doing in the dunya and the beliefs we had that you had partners, we realize that all this was false. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the condition of man, his psychology, his ways, that Allah ta'ala says that man never tires in asking and making dua for good. He always making dua and asking for good. But Allah ta'ala says in front that if a adversity has to afflict him, he becomes despondent. He loses hope. And then Allah ta'ala says, then if we make him taste of our mercy after the adversity which has afflicted him, لَيَقُولُنَّ, he will most surely say, هَذَا لِي, that this is for me. I was deserving of this bounty. And he refuses to acknowledge that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he attributes it to his own knowledge, his talent, his expertise and his abilities. This was this was the same condition which we read previously of Qarun. When he was told to be show gratitude, he says, no, this was because of my own knowledge and all my efforts and my expertise that I accumulated all this wealth. So this is nature of man in general, that this is how they do. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions that the person then comes to the height of haughtiness and obstinacy and refusing to accept the haqq. And then he even goes to the extent of saying, I don't really think that Qiyamah is going to occur. And then he says that even if Qiyamah does occur and I am returned to my Rabb, then for me by my Rabb will be all goodness. In other words, he regards his condition in the dunya of affluence and of good conditions to be an indication and sign that he is the favorite of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is happy with him. So first he doesn't have aqidah of the year after. And then he says that if perchance there is something like the year after, there also I will be in a good condition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَنُنَبِّئَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا. We will definitely inform these kuffar of the things which they have did, and we will make them taste of the very severe punishment. Another condition of insan is described, that when we bless him with our favors, أَعْرَضَ. He withdraws from acknowledging that we had granted him these favors, and وَنَعَى بِجَانِبِهِ, and he turns his side. Sign of pride and haughtiness, like when a proud person, when he has to meet somebody who he regards to be much inferior to him, then he, even if he meets him, he meets him with a slanted eye, he meets him with a slanted face. This is the condition of pride. This is what Allah Ta'ala explains, that when we bless man with our bounties, he becomes proud and he becomes haughty. And وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ, and when we afflict him with adversity and bad conditions, then فَذُو دُعَى إِنْ أَرِيدُ, then he offers long, long prayers. Now he's sitting and crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crocodile tears or whatever you can say. But this is only when now adversity afflicts him. In all conditions, insan should be always showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he is not blessed with any bounty, it is with the will and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person must exercise sabr, but never should he become proudy and haughty on anything, especially when he is in conditions of good. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says concerning the Quran and Majid, that these people who refuse to acknowledge that the Quran and Majid is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in great deviation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will show them the truthfulness of the Quran and Majid through our signs in the horizons, in the universe. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ. We will show them our signs in the horizons, in the universe. وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and in themselves also. That they just have to ponder into their own body functioning, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it so fragile, so delicate. If one thing has to go off balance, a person is not well, he falls sick. It just has to ponder. The human body is called Alame Asghar. It is a whole universe in a minute form. Just that will be sufficient to make him realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of everything. Allah Ta'ala says, Hatta yatabayyana, till it becomes clear to them that this Quran and Majid is the haqq. Therefore, all new advances in technology and discoveries and research and whatever, all of them indicate the truthfulness of the Quran and Majid, the veracity of the Quran and Majid, because many things which were unknown to people of the times of before, we come to know about that. But the more we come to know, the more we realize the great kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these things testify that the Quran and Majid is the haqq, and it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Shura, which is a Makki surah. And as mentioned over and over again, the general theme and subject matter in all the Makki surahs concerns the fundamentals of deen. Here also the fundamentals of deen have been emphasized with particular emphasis on wahi and on nabuwat and risalat. These things have been emphasized more in the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَهُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed, Allah Ta'ala could have made all of mankind into one nation. Allah could have blessed each and every human being with iman. But Allah Ta'ala says, لَاكِي يُرْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ. We enter into our mercy only those whom we wish that they must come into our mercy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting hidayat only to selected people and not to mankind in general is on the according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no person who can interfere or ask about the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only and slowly only Allah ta'ala's fadl and wisdom that he grants to whomsoever he wishes iman and not all of mankind. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning his great creations, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which we can recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala clearly states, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, that there is nothing and no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creation can never have any attribute which is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If in the creation there is an attribute which is used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, the only resemblance is the name of that word, of that attribute, not in the essence and true meaning of that attribute. By way of example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami' and Basir. Allah ta'ala is all hearing. Allah ta'ala is all seeing. Man also hears, man also sees. Animals also hear, animals also see. But the similarity and resemblance is only by this word. In fact, otherwise there's no resemblance whatsoever in Allah seeing and our seeing. For example, for human beings to see, they need many things before they can see. They need the internal light of their eyes. They mustn't be blind. They need external light. If it is complete pitch black darkness, you can't see your own hand in front of you. You need your eyes to be intact. You need that thing to be within a distance through which you can see. If it is beyond that distance, you won't be able to see it. It has to be in front of you. At the back, what is behind me, I can't see a single thing. So all these things are needed before we can see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeing is not restricted to all these conditions. Allah ta'ala is all seeing. So which means that there is no similarity in Allah seeing and our seeing. Just the word seeing, there is a resemblance. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his attributes are his soul, are solely for him only. And there is no one is similar and resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least bit. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we have prescribed for you, O Ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that deen which we had prescribed to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of before also. Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. They all prescribe to the same deen. Deen, when it comes to deen, all the deen are one. The shariat of each deen, of each Nabi, might differ from one to another. What are the obligations to be done? For example, we have to perform 5 times salat at certain times. Fasting, a certain number of fasting, certain amount of zakat we have to give. This could differ according to the different deens. But when it comes to tawheed and the other fundamentals of deen, every deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is the same when it comes to that. This is the thing, kabura ala al-mushrikeen ma tad'uhum ilayh, that this fundamental aspect of deen, which is tawheed, Allah ta'ala says, is very burdenous upon the mushrikeen, because they have been set on their ways of ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala says this is very hard upon them. And Allah ta'ala again mentions, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha. Allah draws whomsoever he wants to himself. And Allah ta'ala guides towards himself those who turn to Allah ta'ala in repentance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides who must get hidayat or who must not get hidayat. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continue calling towards this path of tawheed and towards the Quran and Majid and to the deen of Islam. Wastaqim kama umirta. And remain steadfast on this as you have been ordered to do. And do not follow the desires of these peoples. Do not give in to their demands. And there is no such thing as compromise. That what they say, compromise and follow what they got to say. No. And tell them that I have brought iman on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed from the kitab to me. And I have been ordered that I exercise justice amongst all of you, between yourselves. Allah is our Rabb and your Rabb. For us is our a'mal, our actions, and for you are your actions. Each person will have to answer for his own actions. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that man kana yuridu harth al-akhirati, the person who desires the harvest of the hereafter, Allah Ta'ala increases him in his harvest. In other words, if your objective of is the hereafter, we have been hearing the bayans after Asr, we have to correct our intention that why we are here in this world. We are here to prepare for the hereafter, to do the actions of the hereafter. A person who puts forward his step and starts doing that, Allah Ta'ala increases him in that, gives him the tawfiq and opens the doors so that he can do the work actions of the hereafter. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا. And Allah Ta'ala says, the one who intends the harvest of the dunya, his dunya becomes his objective. Allah Ta'ala says, نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. We will give him a bit of the dunya. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. But he has to remember that there will be no share for him whatsoever in the hereafter. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions in ayat, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That if Allah Ta'ala says that if Allah Ta'ala had to expand sustenance for all his bandas, make each one wealthy, if Allah Ta'ala had to give abundant sustenance to all of his bandas, the result will be لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There will be great mischief and rebellion on the surface of the earth. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَاكِي يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَا يَشَى. Allah Ta'ala sends down according to a portion which He desires must be sent down to each individual, to each person. So here the very basic principle of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not kept economic equality amongst all the individuals of the earth is being mentioned here. Economic equality, which the slogan goes under the slogan of socialism, this is something which is not practical, which is not desirable, which is not something which is feasible, and it is not practical at all. Those who have tried out these systems, we page through the books of history, recent history, all those systems collapse and it can never be implemented. And Allah Ta'ala had mentioned this long ago, that there is no such thing as economic equality. Then the whole system of the functioning of the universe will cease, and there will be greed, there will be a rebellion, there will be mischief, because nobody will regard himself to be in any way in need of another one or subdued by anybody else. And a person will not be able to get any of his work done. A person who needs to build a house, he can't be the architect, he can't be the engineer, he can't be the bricklayer and the carpenter and the electrician and whatever else is needed to build a house. No person has got all the expertise, all the strength, all the ability to do that. Each one is in need of somebody else. The rich are in need of the poor for their labor, for their strength, for their expertise, just as the poor are in need of the rich, so that they can get some payment in return for their services. Allah Ta'ala has kept the system of interdependence. If this was not so, there would have been facade, there would have been chaos in the functioning of the universe, and the universe will never be able to function. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that whatever difficult conditions afflict you, it is because of your misdeeds, because of what you had did. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't seize us for all our misdeeds. وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Allah Ta'ala, most of our misdeeds, Allah Ta'ala overlooks and forgives. If Allah Ta'ala had to seize us for each and every misdeed of ours, there wouldn't have been a single creature surviving on the surface of the earth. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the next surah. We go towards the end of this surah, also surah to shura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some of the qualities of the mu'mineen. Who are the qualities? And amongst them is this, that their matters are decided upon mutual consultation with one another. For which the surah has been given its name, surah to shura. Shura means to make mashwara, to consult with one another in any matter. So the qualities which Allah Ta'ala makes mention here, one is, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Their trust is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They abstain from the major sins and all types of indecency. And when they are wronged, and when they become angry, they pardon. They don't vent their anger in the wrong ways. They pardon and forgive. They respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are obedient to Allah ta'ala. They establish salat and their matters are decided upon mutual consultation with one another. And they spend from what Allah ta'ala has granted them. And if they are wronged and if they are oppressed in any way, they take retribution in a suitable way and they don't exceed the limits. But Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَى. the person who was wronged, if he completely forgives and he makes amends and he rectifies and tries to rectify the problem, then فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, then he will get great rewards by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although Allah ta'ala says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ, to exercise patience and to forgive is something which is لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, from those things which need firm resolve. It's not for everybody. So we have been given permission to retaliate to the extent of the oppression against you in a suitable way according to the boundaries laid down by Shariat, not to exceed the limits, but to completely forgive. This is something which is very great, and for great rewards will be for that person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah ta'ala says that particularly those who, the Jews, they... one of the taunts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and absurd demands that our Nabi Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And definitely when Musa alayhi salam was granted Nabuwwat, Nabi Musa alayhi salam was granted the great opportunity of speaking directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes elsewhere in the Quran and Majid. So what kind of Nabi is this? So Allah ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not befitting for a man to speak to Allah, that Allah speaks to him directly, but through either inspiration or behind a veil, or Allah ta'ala sends a messenger in the form of Jibreel alayhi salam, who then conveys the wahi and revelation to that Nabi with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah is Surah Az-Zukhruf, which is also a Makki surah. Here also the fundamentals of deen have been described. Allah ta'ala, after mentioning Hameen, mentions the greatness of the Quran and Majid. And Allah ta'ala reminds these disbelievers that your not accepting the Quran and Majid to be the word of Allah ta'ala will not cause us to stop the revelation to continue coming down. Allah ta'ala says, أَفَنَضْرِبُ عَنْكُمُ الذِّكْرَ صَفْحًا, do you think that we will turn away the reminder because you are a transgressing nation and who refuse to accept? No, we will continue revealing the Quran and Majid, whether you accept it, whether you don't accept it. A great lesson for those engaged in the work of deen, of propagation, who is a da'i, that conditions will come, and such conditions that a person many a time doesn't see any hope whatsoever, but he should continue. His work is to propagate. Hidayat is not in his hands. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala then mentions many of his great creations here again, through which a person, if he reflects with an open mind, definitely he will realize the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his existence and his oneness. Allah ta'ala then refutes one of the absurd aqaid and beliefs of the mushrikeen, who regarded the angels to be the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that what kind of belief are you all involved in, that you ascribe daughters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas according to the way they used to behave in those days, they didn't like a daughter to be born in their own house. If daughters were born, they used to used to be in grief and sorrow. Allah Ta'ala explains their condition. Dhalla wajhuhu muswaddan. Their faces are a whole day full of gloom and dark, and they are swallowing their regret and their frustration that why was a girl born into our house. But that same daughter, the same girl and females, they attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What type of logic also is this? First of all, Allah ta'ala doesn't have any offspring. And then also they attribute that which they don't like for themselves. What kind of people are they? Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning the great blessing of Iman, which Allah Ta'ala has blessed people with. But Allah Ta'ala says that the value of this world is nothing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the ahadith we know, we learn that it doesn't even equal the value of a wing of a mosquito. Allah Ta'ala says, if it was not for fear that all people will become one nation, in other words, kafirs, then we would have opened the doors of affluence upon the kuffar in such a way, Allah says, we would have made their houses of silver, their stairways in their houses of silver, their doors of their houses, the couches which they recline on, we would have made them of silver, wa zukhrufa, and of gold. But because now that will affect the iman of even the mu'minin, because naturally people then become inclined to the material things of this dunya. That is why we haven't did so. But these things have no weight and no value whatsoever. We would have did this if it was not for fear that everybody will become one nation, and that is of kuffar. The word Zukhruf has been mentioned here, which means gold, and for which the surah also has been given its name, Surah Az-Zukhruf. Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ, that person who loves Allah, who turns away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or dhikr could mean the reminder of the Qur'an and Majeed. Allah Ta'ala says, we set a shaitan over him, who becomes his companion. Now that person, through the instigation of that shaitan, he goes further and further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, falls into disobedience, and then ultimate rebellion against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which makes him then eligible for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the reminders which we have been given to in the Quran and Majeed, the one who turns away, then turns away from there, then shaitan takes over and then leads him astray. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of some of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam incident is mentioned here again. And towards the end of the surah, Surah Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din aduhun illa al-muttaqeen. That true friends on today will be enemies of tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah besides the muttaqeen. Therefore, don't ever think that the friendships of this dunya will avail you in any way in the hereafter. The friendship of the muttaqeen, this is what will avail you and come to your use. Because the muttaqeen, if you keep their company, this will help you in the hereafter. But otherwise, people will become turn enemies to one another on the day of Qiyamah. The next surah is Surah Ad-Dukhan. Dukhan actually means smoke. Here a verse is mentioned about smoke. Here what is meant by that, some mufassirin explain one of the signs of Qiyamah is that a type of a very hazy smoke will engulf the entire world. Reference is made to that. But many mufassirin explain it is reference to the punishment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted the people of Makkah with, who refused to accept the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his nabuwah. They refused to accept his nabuwah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, and the people of Makkah were afflicted with a severe drought. Such severe drought that they had nothing to eat, they were even forced to eat carrion. And even one or two of them came as a delegation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwara, that please make dua that Allah ta'ala must remove this condition from us. So a person who is in extreme hunger, starvation, that person, everything around him also starts turning blurred. His vision also gets affected, and everything seems like to be in a haze and in a smoky condition in front of him. Mention is made of that. In the beginning of the surah, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the Qur'an Majeed, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. We reveal this Qur'an Majeed in the blessed night. The blessed night, according to many most mustasireen, refers to the night of Qadr, because elsewhere Allah Ta'ala mentions, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. We have revealed this Qur'an Majeed in Laylatul Qadr. By this is meant revelation from the Lohi Mahfuz to the first heavens, from where then over a period of 23 years, bit by bit, piece by piece, then it was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, most of the mufassirin say it refers to the night of Qadr, although some ulama mention, got a different view, that it refers to the night of Qadr, which occurs in Shaban. Allah Ta'ala says that in this night, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. Every matter of wisdom is decided upon. Allah Ta'ala decides upon every matter, and that list is then given to the angels, which has to be, concerning all those duties which have to be executed for the rest of the year. Who is to be born, who is to die, what conditions are to prevail, etc. Towards the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the conditions of the people of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ شَدْرَةَ الزَّقُّومِ, that for them is the tree of Zakkum, which is a very thorny and bitter type of a tree, which will be the food for the disbelievers, for the sinners, which will be like molten copper. And some muhli also means the residue of oil, the dirty oil at the bottom, which will burn and boil in their stomachs and burn their stomachs. Allah Ta'ala in a very threatening way will tell the angels, kuduhu, catch him, and fling him headlong into the depths of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us from this. After that, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the muttaqeen and the great bounties of Allah Ta'ala in Jannat. And in the last surah, Surah Al-Jathiyah, also a Makki surah, here also Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions the fundamentals of deen in different ways. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions in this, in ayat, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ, that those who perpetrate evil, do they think that we will deal with them in the same way as we deal with the mu'mineen and with the and those who do good actions, that they are the same, equal in life and in death? No. This is against the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A logical proof concerning divine retribution has been mentioned in this verse, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the mu'mineen, yeah, they underwent so much difficulty and restraint in remaining obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kuffar were very open and free to do what they want. So after death, if everything is still the same, then where is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only be understood if there is retribution for those who did good, they will be rewarded, and for those who did evil or refused to accept the haqq, they will be punished. Then the proper justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be understood. In the last ruku, the verse is mentioned for which the surah also is being given its name, that on the day of Qiyamah, people for fear and out of awe, they will actually kneel and they will fall onto their knees. Jathiya means to kneel, to fall onto your knees. So this will be the condition of people begging for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they did not have iman, there will be no way of salvation for them. كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَىٰ كِتَابِهَا, every nation will be called towards its book, in other words, to the book of records. And the book of records, those who get it in their right hand, they will be saved. And those who get it in their left hand, they will be doomed. May Allah Ta'ala make us also amongst those who will get our book of records in our right hand, which will be an indication of success in the hereafter. Amen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa qala alayhi salatu wassalam, al-imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'batan fa afdaluha qawlu la ilaha illallah wa adnaha imatatul a'dha min at-tariq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, iman comprises of more than 70 branches, the most virtuous of which is the recitation of la ilaha illallah, and the lowest or easiest branch is removing obstacles from the pathway. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, iman comprises of more than 70 branches, the most virtuous of which is the recitation of La ilaha illallah, and the lowest or easiest branch is removing obstacles from the pathway.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني ذي المراه جايك ميدانه توهي توهو توهي توهو توهي تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ الله عليه وسلم الہی دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو الہی رہو ایک خبردار تیرا لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم الہی طہ ذرہ درد دل کے مرتا ہے بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم ہے کیا لا الہ الا اللہ 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 لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤ اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں عطا کر دے وہ مجھ کو اپنی محبت میں اس کے سوا کچھ اور نہیں مانگتا ہوں ہے ناراض کی جس کی دوزخ سے بھر کر اسی ذات کی مسرغا مانگتا ہوں اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تیرے سوا معبود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مقصود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مشہود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں اب تو رہے بستاد میں آخر ورد صبح اے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نارائے مستانا خوشمی آئے دم تا بچانا چنی می بائے دم اللہ جل جلالو تعالی شنو اللہ 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 کیسا پیارا نام ہے عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے اللہ 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 غالبی بر جازبائے مشتری شاید در درمان دگارا و آخری اللہ 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 ہر تمنا دل سے رخصت ہو گئی اب تو آ جا اب تو خلوت ہو گئی
اللہ 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 اللہ
کل من علیہا فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام
الله 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 الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن العظيم واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وآناء النهار واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي ولا تشقنا بمعصيتك ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد واصحابه وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Today is the day of Jumu'ah, so there will not be any program at 11 o'clock. The bayan will be at 12:15 starting, but inshallah we should try to get ready early, prepare ourselves, and then engage in the amal and the actions of Jummah and come early to the masjid. Jazakumullah.